Calling the Bears the worst football team.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, they are. They pretty much are.
They were the number one pick. Although they got that in a trade.
I'm also hearing that Fields' trade value is pretty low. They won't get much for him.
I don't know. That's it's crazy to me that you can get him for supposedly only a second round pick. I'm like, the Browns should fucking get him.
Yeah,
he can
absolutely
back up Watson, who's always hurt, you know, and he's like the same quarterback as Watson.
Unless he wants to be a starter, I don't know.
He doesn't have a no trade clause though, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, he has to go.
Yeah, so
well, that's probably still his rookie contract, right?
It is. He's dirt cheap. I don't know how he can only get a second round. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. Like, he's young and he has faults, and we don't know what his ceiling is. Maybe it's not that much higher. He clearly holds on to the ball too long.
Yeah.
But
he has some things to work through.
Yeah, he certainly does. But he's also, at a minimum, I feel a competent – like, he's at least in the halfway point of starters in the NFL, I would say, as a threat. To get as a second-round pick that's only being paid, like, $1 million a year, that's great value, I feel. Well, get him for a backup.
Well, it's funny.
I tend to agree with you. Sean.
We had this conversation with my nephew just like last week, and we're talking about Russell or Fields getting traded. And I'm like, yeah, he just needs a change of scenery, just like Russell Wilson. He just needed a change of scenery.
Well, that didn't really help.
The next day, he got fired.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Dan.
Well, and they're paying him. It's costing them something like $45 million in dead cap hits.
58, wasn't it?
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, to not. Imagine being such a bad employee.
Right.
That your employer is willing to basically buy an F-16
so cancerous in the locker room that you're.
Or like, remember that Texas Tech coach who got fired? Yeah, it was. Where his walk, they had to buy out his contract.
Right.
It was $70 million, I believe.
Oh, my God.
So, is he like a cancer in the locker room? What was?
Oh yeah, he was bad. Like, he wanted a, you know, parking spot, an office, and
well, he also was getting paid.
He
like
was
he
just
was
being
still
a prima
perennial.
Donna. Oh yeah,
but he was. That's all true, and he sucked on the field. Although he came back a little bit last year, he wasn't as bad as 2 years ago.
Yep.
And they were paying him like he had one of the highest salaries in the league for a quarterback. So you're like, well, you know, we can't.
And that's when you act a bit like a you know, deferential. Like, look, I go home and I have all the money in the world and I'm just going to walk in. Yeah.
Coconut, huh?
This one I'm struggling with, Dion. What's your.
As am I. It's too coconutty for me.
Any nuts in there?
There shouldn't be any nuts, I don't think.
Do s'mores have nuts?
Probably. Everything does.
Everything.
Why wouldn't it?
My we were hanging out with a couple. We went on a double date last week, and they have a son with severe allergies. Old school. I mean, maybe Dion is like this. I don't know. Like, I can die if I have peanut allergies. And he was saying.
Do you have your EpiPen with you?
I don't ever carry it. And I don't know if you feel this way, Dion. He was saying that as there's been stricter requirements around the labeling of ingredients, it's actually gotten worse for them. Because back when there was less, it almost sounds like a libertarian argument for not having the government. But he was like, back when there weren't as strict of requirements, companies would usually only say it has nuts if they actually knew for a fact it did, and that was better. Now they're so worried about getting sued that they just put might have nuts on everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, we basically can't buy, like, we can't buy bread. Like, we can't buy anything. Well, because he also is allergic to, he's also, like, celiac. Like, he has everything.
Oh, that's
cool.
This
kid can basically eat bananas. That's, like, all he can eat.
Sugar and potassium.
The nut warning is everywhere now. Because if it's in the factory that may or may not have ever done peanuts,
they don't
want to
worry about cross-contamination.
But I will say, restaurants are doing a good job of it, and I think it's important at a restaurant. So I do think every time you sit down, getting asked that question is, you know, when your sit-down restaurant does it, I think that's a good thing. There's no too much of that in my mind.
I totally agree. And the difference there, I feel, is a restaurant is like, these customers are our lifeblood. We want to have We want them to leave with a good experience. We want to give them as much of our menu as possible without making them unsafe. Whereas a corporation is like, we just don't want to get fucking sued. I don't care what it does, you know.
Yeah, and you don't have to be, you know, five-star restaurant like Next was to get that these days. It's, you know, almost everywhere.
Actually, speaking of restaurants, are we recording, Steve?
Yeah.
This may or may not be a good story for the pod.
We've gone deep. By the way, we are the Worldwide IT guys.
I'm Dion.
John.
Sean.
And I am Steve. And please tell your story.
Did you guys hear about the story that went viral in Boston? And it's slowly reaching other cities. There was actually an article about it in the Tribune the other day. But this woman, chef, runs a very high-end exclusive restaurant in Boston. And it is so hard to get reservations at that if you cancel, there is a $250 cancellation fee. Okay.
Oh, wow. Sure.
So this guy has a trip to Boston plan, gets very sick, actually has to go to the hospital. I think it turned out it was appendicitis or something, needs surgery, blah, blah, blah. He actually bought traveler's insurance, but I guess, so he was like, oh, whatever, traveler company, pay the $250. And I guess the travel company was like, no, fuck them. They're not allowed to do that. We're not paying it.
Oh, wow.
So she finds him online, the owner, and like basically sends these very mean she like follows him on Instagram. He's like, sure, I don't know who that is. And then she's like, listen, asshole, I hope you know you fucked my company.
Oh, no.
You know, like blah, 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 and is like hounding him. Then he posts it publicly, like, look at this asshole.
Yeah.
And everyone's like siding on the debate, like, is who's right here? And I'm like, who's right here? Like, you can't be hounding your customers, you know, over, I don't know, I feel she went, stepped over
100%.
Line, yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the consumer side on that side for sure.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
It's got to be tough. I mean, I'm sure she's doing fine, but it's got to be tough to have kind of the viral world driving a ton of stuff about you and your business. And it's like, wait a minute, any asshole can come along and actually have a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they didn't like their server that night, right? Oh.
My brother, who owns a steakhouse in New York, talks about that. They have the highest Google average, but they got one zero-star thing, and he said it really hurt you, and you got to work to get him to remove. That zero-star thing
was
somebody who asked my brother for directions
while
he was throwing the garbage out.
Yes.
And he like tried to help him, and the guy was being an asshole, and my brother told him to go fuck himself.
So oh, my God.
In his review, he goes, by the way, ran into the owner on the corner. Real asshole. So it's not even an actual review.
So
the algorithm punishes you.
Oh, I went through a phase where I was doing Yelp reviews all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I like places, if you ever do a negative, the owner that actually looks at the reviews contacts you.
Yeah, and tries to make it right.
Let's talk it over.
Yeah. Sort it out.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
They don't hound you, you know?
Right.
My buddy who owns Cigars and Stripes, which is a bar in Berwyn that has made this podcast before, the Mirror Bar.
Yes, the Mirror Bathroom.
Where he will burn this place to the fucking ground.
Yep.
He also contacts bad reviews, but he goes, thank you so God, you fucking asshole, for promising to never come here again. We hate people like you. Like, he does everything you're not supposed to.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Perfect.
Yes. But, you know, I get it's almost like Dick's Last Resort without a wink that they know they're doing it.
Right.
Like an actual Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah.
We're actual assholes.
Yeah.
So Ed DeBevix.
Yeah, or Ed DeBevix.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing wrong with that. To have a... that perspective in life in general, I think, is a good thing. But if it's your livelihood,
sure,
and, you know, people aren't going to buy into, oh, well, he's an asshole, and that's why we go there.
Yeah.
So what have we got going on technologically? This has been a long time since this group collectively has been together. So we should talk a little bit about the technical space.
Okay.
And something came up earlier today that I think is, you know, a very fun security focused topic that we can just weigh in on. So I believe someone in this room is helping us get to a more manageable, sane password environment within our organization. So like, how do we feel about policies like never expiring passwords. What is
if you have MFA, love them.
Me yeah, too. What's the point in an expiring password? None in a world whatsoever. Where
if you have MFA,
everything is MFA.
And I have to say, yeah. You've been saying this for a long time. Just get rid of password policies.
Scientists have been saying it. Yeah, like exactly. Studies have been saying it. Like there's clear consensus within the industry that's your best practice. MFA. With a secure, never expiring password.
And we're finally getting to that point where we might be able to do this. Although there was this moment on the call where somebody pointed out that a former head of security is the guy that signed off on it. So they may have to revisit that. It's like, what?
Hilarious.
The guy who said, well, yeah, we'll set never expiring passwords is no longer here.
Mm-hmm. So
how dare you think? That you could never. That's not why. I'm just.
But yeah. Maybe just, you never know. That
I do feel a lot of times. Maybe? I feel in those meetings, the IT people. I feel all the subject matter experts are like, yes, this makes sense, and then some fucking shithead consultant or lawyer is like, no, I think it might be a SOX violation, and they're like, well, we got to listen to him. Yep. You know, for some reason,
compliance. Compliance guy, always the compliance guy.
And I'm like, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's making it up as he goes along, you know?
I can say the path to a never-expiring password is in the charter that states that we can go to it if other things are met. So we do have a path forward. It is a reality.
So what do we have to do?
Who do we have to sleep with, Dion?
Yeah, exactly.
Who do I got to blow?
Sean Winther. Good. We're back.
I'm sorry. Was I on mute? I asked, who do I have to blow?
I don't want to say I own passwords at this point, but I'm really pushing for it. Just so you know, like it is a thing. We can get there. It's
I don't know if you saw it. Never been closer. Like you weren't in our little chat world at the time, but as soon as like no words were actually spoken, but I knew this was kind of coming up on this meeting. This is sort of passwords going forward for our organization. And there's a whole program and a whole plan. And thank you, Dion, for your role in all of that. It's an amazing set of things that we're going to do to make life easier for people and still be secure and still be properly secured and actually maybe more secure. So all good stuff. And it, soon as the screen came on that we were going to talk about this, and this is a body that, you know, does have an approval piece to the puzzle. Just sent to him. Approved. Let's go. When can we have it? When's it going to be done?
This afternoon. Let's do it.
We don't need the presentation. Just do it.
Well, so yeah.
You had me at hello.
Yeah. Well, so I just think it's funny because the way that this is coming about is more from the everybody is signing off on it versus the, like, it's already kind of like the approved versus the can we do it? And how do we do it? So it's kind of the opposite of everybody going, we're ready to flip the switch. Can we get approval? It's like we've already approved it. Can you flip the 36 switches?
Right.
That's kind of the tricky part right now. So not to get technical, but that's where we are. But we're there because I know who they are and I've already told them to flip the switch once this year. Well, last year, we'll flip it this year.
All good stuff. Yeah. But, you know, to your point about the order of operations here, this is a new group. That this is literally the second meeting, and we're kind of setting the ground rules and the processes, and it's all good stuff. But we're in an operation that's running, right? So we have tools and platforms and processes that are in play that haven't gone through this group. Meanwhile, we're setting how we're going to go forward. And one of my questions was, well, are we all going to get kind of on the same page about where we are and what is in place today and look at
that might be harder than just changing it
and look at do we approve what's being done today or not, and I don't think we really landed on a good answer there, but at least the conversation was started. That was my goal when I raised it.
Well, I love that we all felt like we could say whatever we wanted on that call.
It was really nice that we could do that, wasn't it?
It was like a design call where you're like, I feel like we should design it this way. And people were like, oh, I got a bunch of questions. That sounds good. But what about? And you're like, answer, answer, answer. More questions. Let's talk about it. That's how that shit's supposed to go.
It was a very open conversation.
I was like,
there did happen to be one notable absence from this room. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a different conversation.
You're going to go there. I'm not like he's a fan of the show anyway.
Fuck him. Fan of the show. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I wish.
That would be a great way to introduce yourself. If, Sean Flannery, a worldwide IT guy.
If that's how he knows us, then he knows us. And he would appreciate it.
And this, no. And this is exactly why he is who he is.
Yeah, I guess. Exactly. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. We're all gone Monday.
So I thought it was a very good call and a good presentation. And you're right. The gentleman who was presenting is probably one of the best writers of technical documentation.
Hello.
Not...
Besides your book.
Jesus. Not like, there's a
short I'm an version, taste. Long version, okay?
I'm an acquired taste.
So two things first. Yeah. Yes, he is the best, and he looked at everything that I was telling him and that I kind of put on a roadmap for this year and went, that'll never fucking fly. I better clean this shit up and present it properly or we're screwed. And I'm like, well, yeah, welcome to architecture and design. Meanwhile... so I'm glad he laid it out and he's the best at it. Like we would not have even been close to something like that on a call if I had to do it myself.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I have somebody who can present it and write it as nice as I like try to sell it. But the second thing I want to say was before I lost track of it, you came up in my house at homework time last night.
Okay.
This should be good.
Well, because, and I don't know if they're listening, but, you know, we do have junior high fans, I guess.
Okay, nice. Leave a five-star review.
Exactly.
Leave a five-star review.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yes, keep swearing. It's perfect. No, because I was trying to, my daughter wrote something for social studies.
Okay.
And we were, her teacher's doing a good job. It's very English side of things for social studies, and she wants her to get a sense of what's going on with what's happening in the world, base some claims and get some evidence, and then put it together. So she's basically teaching her how to think, how to put things together. And I told her the most critical part of her entire homework thing is to have somebody else read it. If you're not going to read it out loud to yourself, have somebody else read it. And I say, I have your mother read things all the time to me. Read things. Does this sound okay?
Just normal story time at your house?
Not just normal story time.
What you write.
This is like, you know, I'm writing my annual review. How's that sound? And she was just very embarrassed because, like, I know I didn't spell everything right. And, you know, this wasn't an auto-correct, auto-check, auto-spell, auto-grammar on the iPad. This was pencil on paper.
What? They still do that?
Yeah. And I was impressed, and I was like, that's fantastic. And I'm like, but guess what? You're so used to all the spelling done for you and all the grammar being telling you what the tenses are. I get it's fine. I'm not correct. If I correct it, I'm not making you feel bad. But I just want you to know that, like, I have your mom read stuff. You know my friend who had a book written? Yeah. He paid somebody a lot of money to read everything and rewrite something and make sure that what he was saying was actually, you know, readable coherent. And that other people, coherent. And
you paid them in beers, though, right? Big,
yeah, well, yeah, a lot. Well, a lot.
It was almost like laundering beers where I would pay him in money and then we would go out drinking.
Sounds like Dion and I.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I did pay him cash.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it was basically like, you are supposed to do that. You are supposed to have somebody read it that you trust, that's good at this, that has done it before, and
I think that's a great lesson, and thank you for sharing. I think that's like my kids did things that, like, when I went through school, we would never do, where there's peer review cycles, and then there's writing lab that you can go to, and none of that was really even an option, right? It was like, write a paper. Okay.
Yeah.
And I go home and write a paper and go, here.
My brother
and the
word processor
would look at me and go,
like,
you're an idiot, and tell me why I was bad at it. Just to have people learn that, no, that's the point. Like in business setting, we never, very, very rarely, email one thing, but even email, it's like, look, I'm sending this to somebody important. Can somebody have a look at this before mm-hmm. I shoot this off?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We all do that because you need to hear yourself. And
yeah.
through another person's eyes, it's best
yes.
because they're going to give you an honest assessment. A, you think that's very clear. B, or on my side, it's not. And B, yeah, when you say this, you're an asshole.
Wow.
It's like, okay, well, great.
And so here's the more difficult part of the story, though, is she's literally writing something where she's learning and hearing about Syrian rebels, Russia, and this really heavy content. So not only is it making her feel bad, but it's like, holy cow, you know, and then I didn't write it, you know, all these other things. And I said, Emma, what's the one thing that stands out in everything you read and the numbers that you're seeing in graphs that you have to use as evidence? What's the one thing that stands out? And she's like, the biggest number on this pie chart is that civilians die, or the most people dying are the civilians. It's not the airstrikes. It's not the armies.
Oh,
it's not
boy.
This. It's not
you,
that.
You got one of them woke teachers.
So, no, this is my daughter. But, oh, yeah, the pie chart said 71,000, you know, innocents died, and it wasn't the airstrikes or the military or the terrorists. And I'm like, okay, guess what? You're right. Now focus on that so that your social studies teacher understands that you read, use the words, and describe it, and you'll nail it. And she wrote a conclusion, and I was like, you're going to get a good grade on that.
Yeah.
And it was good. So,
spot on.
Yeah. But it was a teaching moment where I could relate back to Flannery, you know, the whole...
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
That's
your
where
example.
I went with it. Yeah,
this is your example.
That's where I went with it.
We want everybody to be more Sean-like.
More, have somebody else read your shit.
Somebody, and then go out drinking with them.
That sounds brilliant. So, just because you brought up, this is something that I've thought of with those of you that have daughters. I learned recently of something that I'm really sorry I was not on this journey. So years ago, somebody recommended a book called A Voyage for Mad Men. And I would recommend that book to anybody that wants to read a very exciting true tale of...
Did they make a movie of it?
Of people who have... I don't know. Of people who do this around the world solo sailing trip.
No.
Okay.
It is an amazing read, and it goes from, you know, it paints the picture of the characters, you know, the rich asshole who just has enough money to, you know, blow on a sailboat, who starts and goes, yeah, that was dull 2 days in, mm-hmm. and wanders off, to the person who can't afford anything and ends up, you know, sorting things out in whatever way they sort it out, and then dies on his mission to go around the world, to the people that actually do make it. It's an amazing read.
Well.
So I recommend A Voyage for Mad Men. However, having read that, literally there was a New York Times article over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, somewhere over the weekend, this past weekend, that I read of, and it's all alone in the ocean with 400,000 followers. And it is a young lady named Cole Brower, who is performing this. This is the solo, this is the time when they're doing it. And where they launch from Spain, and they go down south of Africa, they go across the Southern Ocean, around the Cape Horn of South America,
mm-hmm.
and then back up to Spain. That's the round the world solo.
Wow.
This young lady is posting, follow her Instagram, look her up. Cole Brower,
mm-hmm.
she's posting on Instagram on a regular basis. Her team is posting when she can't post. It is an amazing journey to see for me, it was amazing because I read the book and I always wondered, like, what was that like? I'm seeing exactly what it was like.
Well, but now, isn't there, I thought you said the book is about people who don't even have a radio. Did you say that, or was that in my
Yes,
head?
Those are people that didn't have all the technology
so this
we
person,
have today.
Though she's completing the navigation, is
technology
sort of,
is such that they can use satellite phones and do what they do today. This book is from back in the day when you couldn't
gotcha,
do any of that.
Yeah, because it's just so much more safer.
Yes.
If you have a communication
yes.
device where
However,
you're in distress. Yeah.
You know, there's a moment.
I'm not trying to dismiss what she's doing.
You see when her boat keels over, yeah. there's moments where literally she's flat, you know, she's mm-hmm. on her side.
Yeah.
You see moments when she's like thrown across the cabin in her Instagram feed. You see her out on her deck just being happy as a clam.
Yeah.
And the ocean behind her is just mm-hmm. like, are yeah. you fucking kidding me? That she's out cool. in this mess. It is an amazing watch. And I've been watching through her videos because I wasn't aware. She's literally going to get home. She's going to complete the circuit tonight or tomorrow morning was the schedule.
Based on Brewer Ocean
I do
Racing.
Think it's...
Cole Brower Ocean Racing. That's,
I think it's amazing whenever you see like those photos or videos of somebody where they're so far out in the ocean, it's just water. In yeah. every... like for... It, what looks like billions of a miles, like right. I feel like it must be like being in outer space, you know, in terms of how helpless and inconsequential you must feel.
She went past, you know, she talked about, oh, you know, I just passed this cape. I just passed this. I just passed, you know, Point Nero. I think it's called Point Nero. And I was like, what the hell was that? Well, later in that same video, she goes, oh, yeah, Point Nero. Just so you know, Point Nero is the furthest point from any land you can be
interesting.
On the world.
Man. Yes.
Have you guys seen that movie about that that swimmer woman who does the...
I've heard it's good. I have
It's
not
really good. We watched it.
Yeah,
it's pretty intense.
Is, do you remember, I don't know what
it's
this
got,
is.
Is it Frances? No,
but
I forget
she's,
the actress.
She's old.
Yes.
But she's a distance swimmer.
She swims from Florida to Cuba in the
Cuba
movie
to Florida, or back, whatever.
Wow.
It's amazing. Trish wanted to watch, of course, because of swimming.
Sure.
But it's really good. Check it out.
Well, I've heard
and,
it's amazing.
And the funny thing about this
Naiad
young lady.
Is the
Naiad's
movie.
The movie. Right. Check it out.
There is another there's another race, and that's actually what she signed up for. She wanted to be on this other race, which is a team race, where mm-hmm. teams compete and do this other harrowing kind of sailing thing. Much easier than the solo around the world thing, but a very high prestige kind of thing. And all of the teams were like, no, we don't want her. She's like 110 pounds soaking wet. She's 5'1".
Yeah.
No, we don't want her on our team. So she's doing the solo round the world trip.
okay.
So you've seen Naiad.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So what I've heard is really interesting about this, and I would love to hear what you say, is that normally when we see movies like this, like that Dennis Quaid pitcher movie where somebody later in life, so apparently the premise of this movie is she tried to do it as a young woman, it didn't work out, and now she finally does it in her 50s. But I guess it's not actually portrayed in the Hollywood sense of, look at this older person doing a perfect comeback story. Like, they kind of portray, like, the people who do this are assholes. They're so driven about history remembering them that they don't treat the people around them well.
Oh, she was she's a bitch.
Yeah, so I've heard it's really I've heard it's really interesting about this is what it actually looks like to be around a Lance Armstrong, to be around mm-hmm. like these people who set records. Their record is more important than your life. Like, I've heard it's really like a really uh-huh. interesting portrayal of the heroine. I would think so, because I would think like being around those people is insufferable.
Yeah, well, I encourage you to watch Cole Brower, because she's not
okay.
She is delightful, is the way I would describe her. She's fun. Mm-hmm. She's always smiling in the midst of the most ridiculous. There are moments where she's not, but mm-hmm. it's like I don't know how you're doing this all on your own out there.
Yeah.
Granted, she's not, but she is.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, the swimmer woman has a boat next to her, like, the entire time.
Sure.
It's not like she's just like, okay, I'm going to go in the water without anything. They're watching over her. You know, sharks, you know, they have a shark dive tank, so if they see sharks, then team goes in and starts scaring them away. But it's really good.
Cool.
Yep. I have to check that out.
I will check that out too.
So, I literally just got a text.
Oh, geez.
That are you able to play tennis this afternoon? And it reminded me of that recent episode of Pig Butchering. I have to go play tennis. I've never played tennis. Like, I haven't played tennis in 15 years, but The pig butchering episode of John Oliver. Did you guys see that one?
The what
episode? Pig butchering.
Pig but?
Have you heard of what pig the terminology for pig butchering?
No.
It's a couple weeks old.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's up on his website.
Okay.
Yeah, I went there yesterday.
So the short story is pig butchering is what these scam artists call when they randomly text somebody, hey, do you want to play tennis? And then you respond back and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I think I have the wrong number. Sorry to bother you. You know, hopefully, you know, you don't hate tennis or love tennis. And they reel you in with a very long lead of
it's a long game.
A long game. They will be your friend forever. Just as soon as I respond to this and say, oh, I love tennis, but I don't know who you are. And they'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I was reaching somebody else. Wrong, my bad. But you like tennis? Oh, I like tennis. Did you? How about this? And you have Serena Williams. You see that? And maybe 6 months later, I get something from them that says, hey, you know, yeah, remember we were talking about that thing? Well, here's that Kickstarter, or here's a link to something, or here's a Bitcoin thing, or here's a that we were talking about. And this is, you know, you feel free to go ahead and do whatever you want to do. But here's the thing I was talking about. And 6 months later, I click a link and then I'm fucking taken. They've just gotten something from me and whatever. And pig butchering is basically like fattening up the pig.
Yep.
To then butcher them with, I've just stolen every single dollar out of your bank account, or I got you to donate to a Kickstarter and I've got some information from you. And that actually wasn't a Kickstarter. It was a website that I wrote that I try to get 100 people a day to just put their credit card number in, and now I've got you for life.
And this is the kind of thing that it, you know, because I saw this as well. As I was listening to it, I
didn't know that term.
Nothing. No, I didn't know it either.
But I do have a good tennis story, though.
Afterwards. But nothing. This is not new. The difference is the scope and the availability of people and the anonymous nature of the internet makes it that much worse. Because back in the day, the same thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was it was, that guy in town who took.
Yeah.
Me for my money, and everybody then knew
and then he
it
left,
and it was gone. Yeah,
and then he was like, "I'm gone.
Yeah,
like I got all you. We're all in, and then I'm out." Right? Yeah. It's the you know the Music Man or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
The and I'm gonna ruin it. I'm sorry, but the biggest piece of this story was people who get told they've got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like the biggest pig butchering thing is you quit your job, you leave, and you go somewhere. Because you think you are about to go make money, and they lock you in a room and say, try to invite people to play tennis and make money, or else either we'll kill you, or you're not leaving the island, or you're not going, whatever, and they just own you. You are now in a country that you don't have a visa to leave, and the entire
Dion,
government is...
You've been pig butchered. This is what you're doing now.
Son of a bitch. I can't get out of this room?
Job...
Yeah.
No, the job you've been in for the last 15
years. Oh, the 23-year scam? Yes.
Yes, all of us.
It was a long con. Long con. We had to print badges.
We got you, man.
We had to run a fucking email system for years. That was a lot of work.
Password policies? Yeah. We did it all for you, Dean.
By the way, thanks for that password thing.
I have definitely been butchered. Oh, yeah, I see. Now, as soon as I give you never explaining password, now I'm butchered. Perfect. Thank
pretzel
you.
Pretzel bun was good, too.
Yeah, exactly. I gave a lot. My best years. I gave my best years to this group, okay?
John, what's your tennis story?
Oh, it's past. It's right. Okay, it was just he mentioned tennis, and you're getting emails about it. Back in the day, like when we used to train with my friends, you know, we used to log our workouts. And we had a buddy who would always log tennis when he had sex with his girlfriend. So it's like,
does anybody else have a name like that for what they do? Like with kids in the house, like we had friends and they referred to scuba. They would.
I was gonna say, don't tell us what your name is.
We don't have a.
So we're over your house.
Yeah, we don't have a word that we use in front of the kids. No. Yeah.
No.
So are we doing scuba this weekend? I mean, that's you know, whatever the, like, they would do this whole routine.
With
like,
my kids, did they scuba where it was fine? Or was it like they don't even own scuba gear?
They don't even own scuba
gear. Oh, no, they've never swam.
I will just say you can't do that when you have a child with autism. Hey, Jess, you want to scuba tonight? And kids, I would appreciate no follow-up questions.
Dad, you don't have any equipment. Where are you going? The water's too cold. It's raining.
So we have a listener, a longtime listener. That whenever he wears X body spray,
here we go.
His wife goes, "Oh, we're fucking tonight, huh?"
Oh, nice.
So with X body spray.
Was that I didn't know Kirby
I
was
wish
married.
It was that easy too. Jesus
Christ. Do you know what I will do though? Sometimes this is kind of funny.
Connor, give me your cologne
you
now. Give any Abercrombie Woods left.
Oh my god.
So. I don't think I've ever shared this with you guys, but this is kind of a funny thing about relationships and signaling that tonight might be a night for sex. Jess started in the last few years buying me these funny men's underwear
where
my dick is always part of the picture that's in front of it. Like it's a wolf's head and then my dick is the snout.
Elephant snout.
One was a Christmas tree. One's an actual tape measure for like construction. So it's like all this different stuff that cracks her up, you know. So now I'm almost like a girl wearing thongs, like trying to like turn on like for sexy night, you know. So I wear the funny underwear when I want to try and you know.
Do any of them laid. Actually just have a hole there so that like it literally becomes the thing?
That like a unicorn? That would be a good one. Yeah. No. They do have the normal fly that all underwear has, but they don't necessarily incorporate
centimeters or inches, Sean.
Hey-o.
I don't know. That's a great question. I'll have to look. Yeah.
So you actually have the underwear you posted in this channel.
I don't own that. I don't own the Celtic underwear I posted.
So that's the Worldwide IT Guys premium package. If you guys would like
our Patreon. Right. Yeah. Go to our Patreon.
It's an OnlyFans. We're starting this week.
Yeah. God, wouldn't that be
I
great?
Love this idea.
If you made more money as an OnlyFans.
I've been begging Steve to get us a revenue-generating option for this group, and here we go.
It's Sean in his underpants. We never knew.
If the check is right, I'm willing to do it.
We're getting sued.
Pretty good. Well, I have one more technical story, and it's really a question, not so much a technical story. But it's not you. I should more look at John.
Uh-oh.
So we have a system here that I believe we were still at the Merchandise Mart. I'm 98% sure we were at the Merchandise Mart.
Right.
I bet that system was going to be offline long before now. And we now know that it is going to go offline.
Oh, we've said this before.
I don't think I ever paid up on that bet. So
is
here's
this the
deal.
System that we were talking about earlier today?
Yes.
Double or nothing.
It, here we go.
It is not actively being used. It will be in mothballs. It will still be up. It will still be functioning. But it will not be actively used in any way, shape, or form by June 1st. That's my bet.
I'll take that.
Are we taking this bet or not?
I actually believe Bumba. This is the first time I've ever bet against that machine existing. But I actually believe their next round of upgrades they're going to do are actually going to make it.
You've never had more of an insider trading bet to make in my life because you actually have access to the system. So you could technically sabotage it and
I could do that. It would be a federal wiretapping crime.
But you would get a six-pack out of it.
I'm willing to throw 20 years down the drain.
Six-pack on this.
Six-pack.
Absolutely. I'll take this bet.
Deal.
All right.
I'm in.
No,
I like seeing action on it. You know what? You're right to do it because knowing this team – it won't actually be June 1st.
Totally true.
Something will happen, and it will be August
1st?
It will be August 1st or something. There's no way Bumba will be made looking good by this team. So something happen. Something
they have never made me look good so far.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But I do think it is going to happen around
June
that time.
June 1st, archival of a dead system.
Yeah, the business will not be using it actively. It will be there for
I understand. Legacy. I understand that. I understand the technicality.
I think you're mostly right. I like John taking the bet.
I'm taking it.
John, I will help you pay for this six pack if you lose.
Do I have to buy a six pack for each of you?
No, just for Bumble.
Just for Bumble?
It's just for Bumble.
Okay, I'm not involved.
This is a one six pack. Deal.
I'm excluded. I'm not involved in this.
I'm going to find that most expensive.
Even though I handed this off a year ago, and I'm a big part of why
this is how I'm involved in the bet. I just want to lay the groundwork for how I'm involved in the bet. If John loses, I help him pay for the six pack. Either way, I get to drink two beers.
It's still a party.
From the six pack.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a given.
Okay, there we are.
What's I mean, it's landing on this table right here.
What's my take? What did I have nothing?
No, you're a spectator.
You just said you're out.
You said you have no skin in the game.
But I don't think I can be in the game.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's my whole point. Out. That's fine. Enjoy your beers in front of me.
Oh, we will.
You can drink that sweet piece of crap.
More shit.
Did we decide on lunch? Or were we waiting on Dion?
We might have decided on the pool hall, but
that's not me. Yeah. Whatever you guys
want. Wow, I think that's the first time you've called it the right thing ever.
True story.
Yeah.
Bowling alley.
It's a true story. And it shouldn't be 46 degrees out today either.
Yeah, it's not crappy.
Well, but this is a totally normal temperature. We have been it so is. Spoiled. Yeah,
agreed. It is. And I did say that this morning while I was waiting for the train. Like, it feels colder than it should be only because it was like 80 last week. You know,
so this group is going to go find lunch. We have been the Worldwide IT guys. Thank you very much. We didn't talk about Wonka. We didn't talk about the ridiculous. Oh, did you see the fake Wonka thing?
We have a lot of things we didn't bring up in our.
Well that for
we thank can't you jump all right for back listening. Into the pod, right? Yeah. I mean, we got to like ease into
ease
this.
Back into it. Okay.
We have some people really waiting for some stuff. So
are we going to have like it's not next week. It's the following week. That's when are we going to have Giggles on?
Who?
What? Giggles.
Rodrigo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to have him on.
Well, Grumpy's back next week, right?
Grumpy's back next week.
Grumpy and Giggles. Giggles is in 2 weeks.
Oh, this is fun.
One mic. And then Giggles. Grumpy and Giggles, one mic.
I like this
play. I mean, if we don't have a teaser, that's the best teaser of all teasers. Yeah. We'll be right back.